Shocker, I was seeing warm up the Toronto Maple Leafs lines, and Espesa's not even playing center tonight. Engvall will be their third-line center. Kerfoot's going to be the second line with Nylander and Vesey. Like, none of those guys strike me as really solid defensive guys, so one of McDavid or Draisaitl is going to get to see that line a fair amount, or the Engvall line with the rookie and Mikhaylev. Like, I don't know which line it's going to be. I'm guessing maybe more Draisaitl, but you got to feast on those matchups.
Yeah, I would think so. Like Kerfoot's a good player. He skates pretty well, and I think when he sets his mind to it, I think he can play a decent defensive game. Nylander, as we know, has had issues with that in the past. So definitely an opportunity to prey on that line a little bit. I really liked that Mikheyev last game, though. I looked like a he had a nice night. You know, big, skates well. So yeah, this is definitely an opportunity you got to take advantage of if you're the Oilers. No Austin Matthews. You know, Joe Thornton is out of the lineup. You got an opportunity to pounce here and make up for what happened against the Montreal Canadiens. This is an opportunity to actually erase that and get on a winning streak. Imagine that.
Yeah, two in a row. Got to start somewhere, I guess. And, hey, be on the road. Who knows? Well, we'll see how it goes. I think they have a great opportunity tonight without Austin Matthews. That's a big blow to the Maple Leafs. Like, it's the equivalent of the Oilers losing McDavid to go from McDavid down to Kyle Turris, right? Like, let's be honest. That's a pretty big step down. Or Leon Draisaitl to Kyle Turris, right? Like, that would be a pretty big blow to your lineup. And, you know, we'll see if the Oilers can take advantage of it. Obviously, they got to generate a little bit more offense and try to remain solid defensively, which I actually think the Oilers defensively have been more consistent 5-on-5 than they have been offensively this year, because there's 3 out of the 5 games the Oilers have limited chances 5-on-5, but there's really only been one game where they've scored 5-on-5.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And, you know, Tippett, he might not want to talk about it, but when you aren't generating 5-on-5 and creating chances 5-on-5 the way that this team has the ability to, like, I think back to when Connor McDavid was talking about needing to play a good defensive game, and he said, you know, we feel like the offenses will be looked after. You know, that's taken care of. So there's a certain confidence that that's going to be there. And they wanted to focus on the defensive side of the game. But you can't get to a point where it's all one or all the other, right? The good teams have this way of kind of being able to do both at the same time. You know, they can multitask. They can take care of their own end, but then generate a bunch of offense at the other end. And I think that's part of the skill set that these guys are still developing, how to have a brilliant defensive shift and then turn the jets on and create offense out of that, as opposed to it being kind of all one direction or all the other. And McDavid and Draisaitl know how to do that. They've done it before. It's just making that part of what they're doing every single night, and the other players as well.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. James Neal draws in for his first game of the season after a month battle of COVID. Had one conversation with him, wrote about it this morning, and you know he admitted it hit him pretty hard, and just kind of when you throw the timing in of it, he was actually planning to leave to Edmonton, and he got his test that day because you have to take it before you leave. And that was 15 days in Nashville. Then he gets to Edmonton. He's got to quarantine again. All right, so basically went almost a month. And in Nashville, he said he couldn't do anything physically. So I'll be curious. He has been cleared, you know, around the team since the 5th of January, right? So he's been around the team for 17 days. But when you're off for that long, it'll take you a while, I think, to get up to speed. So I'm kind of curious to see what he does. I think his biggest contribution is probably going to come on the power play.
Yeah, I mean, assuming they get to the power play enough times for it to make a difference, I do think he's got an opportunity. Based on what we saw from him, I do think he has the opportunity to make an impact 5-on-5 too. I thought he skated really well. And
yeah,
I thought he was physical. I thought when there were lulls in the Oilers game, his line had an opportunity to grab some momentum back, and they did. I thought he was one of their, and I don't want to overstate it, but from what we had seen from him previous to that, other than the hot streak, I thought he came back better than he was during the regular season because he was finally healthy. So I'm really interested to see what a healthy James Neal can do without any ankle issues, no ankle sprains, no you know, and with his legs really, really rolling. Now, as we know with COVID, it can create an issue with the lungs, and it's taken him some time to get himself back. But if the legs are good and he's up to speed, I think he has a chance to make a dent on things at 5-on-5. And what I'll be really interested to see is if by the end of the night, he isn't making a case for himself to be elevated up the lineup, because he definitely has the skill. It's just if he can put the whole game together.
I believe the return of James Neal, if he looks good in a few games, he's going up on McDavid's line, because Tippett can tell us all he wants. He's had, but 5-on-5, that line's got to get some more production. There's no question about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure they do. And, I mean, just the bottom six in general, like, I mean, yeah, I think that empty netter, you want to have a chance at that line contributing something each night. You don't want to be sending them out there feeling like just kill time. Like, the good teams have fourth lines that can sting you. They play hard, they play fast, they're not afraid to get on the body, but they can sting you too offensively. It's not just about gobbling up minutes, especially when you're in a matchup game where they're playing against the other team's third and fourth lines. They got to be able to offensively win those matchups when they're playing the other team's bottom lines. And so far, the Oilers bottom six hasn't really been able to do that. There hadn't been much for threats in and around that bottom six. And so we wait and see if James Neal can inject something that they've been lacking.
No, I know. I meant if he plays even remotely well, he's going up on McDavid's line, because I think that's the line that's got to get some more 5-on-5 production.
Yeah. So you throw him over on right wing there instead of Cassian?
Yeah, very possible, yeah. Or, hey, if you have to move Nuge, but I would probably try him on the right side. He's always played the right side, too. He's very comfortable playing the off wing. So he's talked about it. He prefers to play it. Like, he can play both, but I remember once he goes, hey, if you ask me which one I prefer, it's the right side.
Yeah, and there's something about when you are a left shot playing on the right side, when you step over the offensive blue line, your stick is to the middle of the ice, and you have the opportunity to attack it a different way. It's harder to protect the puck and get to the outside because you got to take it to your backhand. But when you can make plays to the middle, you're in a better spot to get a better angle shooting on the goaltender. And they're not used to, like, when a goalie's tracking a guy coming down the wing, it's much different for him when it's a left shot coming down the left side than a right shot coming down coming down that side. So it's a good look in the offensive zone. Where it causes trouble is on the boards in the defensive zone. But if you can be solid on the boards in the D zone, once you get over the blue line, it's actually, I think in a lot of ways, it can be advantageous, especially if you're the shooter. Not so much for the playmaker, but if you're the shooter, having your stick to the inside is good.
Oh, yeah, without question. No doubt, Reiner Schog from TSN joins us. Schogger, Tyler Ennis comes back in for Nygaard, and I guess that has a little bit to do with the just the roster and guy, because he didn't have to clear waivers. Although you could have technically, if you wanted, put Chase on or Ennis on non-roster waivers today if they needed to do it. But what's been, it's only a few early games, but is Tyler Ennis, like, I think he's a guy who's probably in and out of the lineup for sure, but is he someone that would you consider sliding him up back with McDavid after playing there last year?
Not until he gives you something. I mean, I think you need to wait until he gives you something. I think Tyler Ennis needs to get in there and skate really fast and work really hard and be somewhat pest-like, though that's not his game. But when you're playing where he is in the lineup, you have to figure out a way to do that. I think he needs to generate a little bit, and I think he needs to show that he's up to speed and fully engaged. I haven't seen that yet from him. Have you? Like, I've found him to be pretty average, below average, and struggling to find it. So I don't think you give him that promotion until he shows you something and he's earned it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's totally fair. And I do wonder when Haas comes back if we might see Turris on the wing.
Well, I think Turris moves to the wing before they would ever consider taking him out of the lineup. So, yeah, I think that Shore is cementing his spot. I firmly believed, some didn't agree with me, but firmly believed that Devin Shore was a direct threat to Jujhar Khaira at that fourth center spot, and he absolutely was. He came in and did what Khaira has not been able to do, which is to play hard, play fast, and play consistent. And Khaira has just never been able to do that for any length of time. So Devin Shore has won that spot, and that's not going anywhere. If he keeps playing like he is, like, you tell me, which is the third and which is the fourth line tonight?
Oh, I think, I would argue the Shore line is the third line when it comes to minutes played, for sure.
Well, that's my point. Yeah. You got two lines that are basically a couple of fourth lines there, but I would say the distinction between which one is the third and which one is the fourth line based on what they're going to give them and the way they play. Like, Turris is struggling 5-on-5. He really is. He's not very heavy on his stick. He's not great at winning battles. There's some parts of his game that for him to do what they're asking him to do, he's really going to have to bear down. Now, he's doing a good job penalty killing, and I got tons of respect and time for a guy that'll throw himself in front of shots without thinking twice, and he has done that. Like, he has sacrificed, and he's done it with reckless abandon. And we've seen other guys not willing to do that. So that buys, I think that buys him a lot of goodwill, and he's a veteran. So he's going to get a long look here. But when Haas is back, if the best look is Shore and Haas down the middle, they'll do it, and Turris can play the wing.
Yeah, Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, just around the league, are you surprised at all by Vancouver's start?
Am I surprised? You know, this is the thing. Like, people felt like the North was going to be... There's a difference between being strong as a division and being balanced. And I think that the North has been balanced. And so even if you thought Vancouver was going to be a better team in the North, they're not up there in the league. So I think there's good balance throughout this division, and I think that I'm not surprised that, you know, a team that we thought might be a little higher is a few spots down. It's still pretty early, but anywhere in that sort of 1-3, 4 range, I think I really wouldn't have been shocked other than Ottawa to see any of the teams in there. So I'm going to say no, but I didn't really know exactly what to expect coming in. So nothing's really surprising me. Like, Montreal's been really good, obviously. And Vancouver has struggled a little bit to find it here, but it's still early. Were you shocked?
Oh gosh, no. I thought Vancouver. I have Vancouver as a team not making the playoffs. What I see is kind of what I expected. Now, their defense obviously is more banged up than you would expect. No question about it. They've had some injuries. Now Hamonic's out and Edler's out, and Myers did avoid a suspension, but even the Chatfield, there another guy looks like he might injured for them. So that doesn't help. But I just felt like when you looked at all the numbers and Woodley came on, and Woodley showed me some numbers last year. You're just like Markstrom, not only the amount of shots he faced, but the amount of high quality chances, like he made their team look a lot better than it was. And I was just like, this is Oilers 2018 all over again to me.
Yeah.
And they don't have McDavid or Draisaitl.
Yep. No, for sure. They've got some nice skill, but they don't have, and what's Pettersson got for points at this juncture? Yeah. I mean, if you're going to misfire with your top end offensive guys, it's going to be a rough go. So I'm just looking where they got 18 goals in their 6 games. So they're 28 against, though. Like, yikes, 28 goals against in 6 games, that's a pile of goals going in on you.
Oh yeah, it's not ideal at all. Shogger, the Dallas Stars make their return to the National Hockey League tonight. What is what's your sense? No Ben Bishop, no Tyler Seguin. What do you think happens with Dallas? Can they, with this late start and now 56 games in 109 days, can they make the playoffs?
Well, I think the question is, I think they're a good enough team to make the playoffs. They should be. I think the question is, how much will this affect their start? How fast will it take them to get on track? Is this going to mean 2 weeks of trying to get their feet underneath them and they're playing teams that have already been through the ugly part of all this? How big a dent is this going to put in their start? I don't think it'll be such that they're not able to recover, but it wouldn't surprise me if, we were talking about a couple of wins in their first 5, 6, 7 games and it took them a little bit to get going. So we'll see, but I like the team. And, I had a lot of fun covering them in the bubble. It's a good group. It's a fun group. The head coach is a good guy that I think everybody sort of roots for. They got some good leadership there. They're a good mix of young and old. So I still think they're going to be able to make the playoffs, but this might put a dent in them in the first, 2-3 weeks.
Shogger, have yourself a great weekend. We will chat with you on Monday.
Okay. Enjoy the game, pal. See ya.